in the back in the handouts, there's a bigger sheet of paper that has a cutaway view of this, but it's kind of like a cutaway view. And then you'll also have an aerial diagram of the tabernacle overview on the other side, and it looks at the courtyard and the things and where the tribes all stayed. Keep that in your Bible, because periodically we will be making reference to that, and each week you'll get a half sheet of paper with notes on it. So we're going to be looking at the tabernacle. And we have up to this point, we had a study of types. What are types? When we talked about a type of Christ, something that foreshadows. Think about this. Think about one way to illustrate what a type is. If you ever stood with the sun behind you and you see your shadow, okay, you can kind of tell, oh, you know, that's a figure of a person, but there's no what? There's no details in a shadow. Well, it's kind of like a type. There's certain things you can know, but details are not given. So we're going to see how the tabernacle and the priesthood and all the offerings really are pictures and types of Christ that were given to us. So open your Bible again to kind of our theme verse for this study, Luke 24:27. Luke 24:27. And this we looked at already. This is the road to Emmaus. This is when the disciples, two of the disciples, were walking, and they were discussing the events of the day. And Jesus comes up, and he's walking alongside them. And, of course, they didn't know that it was Jesus. And it's almost comical. Not in like a ha-ha-ha way, but, you know, they're talking about the events of the past 3 days, Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, right? And Jesus walks up alongside of them and he says, hey, what's going on? And haven't you heard? You know, are you new in town? You know, didn't you hear about what happened? No, what happened? And they begin to explain. So, and verse 27 says this, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Okay? So, beginning at Moses. So, who wrote Genesis? Moses. Okay? And all the prophets. What did he do? He expounded from the scriptures things concerning himself. So, the Old Testament is filled with references to Christ. Okay, look with me, please, a very familiar passage, but 2 Timothy chapter 3. We know this passage well. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So how much of the scripture is inspired? Okay, how much of the scripture is profitable? All of it, okay? And it's profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So all of it. So even scriptures that pertain to the tabernacle are profitable for us, okay? We don't live under the law anymore. We don't live under the sacrificial system where we need to go to the tabernacle, but its teachings are profitable for us, okay? And we have to understand that, okay? So it's very interesting. God only gave us two chapters to deal with the creation of the world, Genesis 1 and 2. And there's a couple other, you know, references in verses, Psalm 19, you know, Jesus makes reference in a verse or two, have you not heard that he that made them male and female in the beginning, but basically two chapters. How many chapters do you think cover the tabernacle and its ministries? Any guess? 50. Okay. Did I say that in the notes? Oh well. 50. Okay, I don't even remember what I wrote in the notes. But 50, okay? 50 chapters deal with its ministries, okay? So I would say if there's that much information about it, it's probably important, okay? And important for us to understand. Okay, so what we will be doing over the next few weeks, so what we will be doing over the next period of weeks or months will be today predominantly looking at an overview of the tabernacle, and then what we will do is we will break it down, we will look at the courtyard and the things that are in the courtyard, we'll talk about the gate, the bronze altar, and the laver, how do you say that again, Sandy? Laver, thank you. I asked her yesterday and I forgot. Is it laver or laver? But laver. And then the holy place, we'll see the lampstand, the table of showbread, the altar of incense. And then the most holy place, or the holy of holies, where we'll see the veil, the ark, and the mercy seat. Then after we're finished looking at the tabernacle, we'll study a little bit the ministry of the high priest. And all this symbolism, how it points to Jesus. And then we'll look at the journey of the ark from Mount Sinai all the way through to Israel to the time of Solomon's temple. Okay? So this will be our study for the next few, however long it takes us to get through here. Okay? So let's begin a little bit to look at the overview. Okay? The tabernacle was God's first dwelling place upon earth. Now, yes, he walked with Adam and Eve. He walked with Enoch and Noah. But this was his first dwelling place. Open up your Bibles to Exodus 25. Genesis, Exodus, second book in the Bible. You can kind of see here the tabernacle in the middle, the Shekinah glory. Okay, and all of these things are all the tents of Israel, all the tribes, and we'll look at the order later. It's on that bigger sheet that I gave you, but where every camp was tribe was supposed to camp on a certain place. This being the east, and of course the west, the north, and the south, and every person had a place to be. And of course, immediately around the tabernacle was the tribe of Levi, okay, because they were the ones in charge. So in Exodus chapter 25, in verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying," okay, and then skip down to verse 8, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell," what? "Among them." Notice, here's God, the Shekinah glory, and what is he doing? He's dwelling among them, okay? All right, today he dwells what? In us, okay? But then he dwelt among them, okay? And the tabernacle was designed and planned by God. Look at verse 9 of Exodus 25. And again, I just read verse 8, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." Okay? So there was a pattern. Look at verse 40, okay, of same chapter. "And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." Well, pattern, what do you think that is? What would be a more modern word for pattern? Plans, blueprints, right? Nick and Mike, they're builders. They read blueprints, right? Hopefully, they know how to read blueprints, you know, and that way the house is built the way it's supposed to be. But there was a pattern, there was a plan. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit more later. Okay. The tabernacle, and we'll study this more often. This is more in the future, a little more in detail. This is kind of just an overview. But the tabernacle was made of rich materials. Back up a little bit in chapter 25 and look at verse 2. "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Okay? So all of these materials. Now, a very short time ago, what was the whole nation of Israel in Egypt? Slaves. How in the world were slaves going to get all this rich material? How did they get that material? Yep, the Egyptians said, get out of here. And here's parting gifts. And, you know, they gave them these things. And they were able, with those things, to build the tabernacle. And when we get into it, and we get studying in detail the making of the tabernacle and the different things, how much gold and silver and brass, you know, I don't even know what it would be worth in today's market, but it would probably be worth, you know, millions and millions of dollars, okay? Rich materials it was made from. And look at chapter 35 of Exodus. The whole tabernacle was built by the children of Israel. Exodus 35, starting in verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaliel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in the carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Hishamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue, in purple, in scarlet, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Then wrought Bezaliel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaliel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Okay, so the Lord anointed two special people to oversee the work, but then the nation of Israel would bring all of the things needed, and then they would do the work. They would actually be the ones building and making this tabernacle for God. Okay, any questions, thoughts, comments before we move on? Okay. Quite an undertaking, you know, and quite an undertaking to consider. So what is the tabernacle? Okay, what is the tabernacle? Why, you know, what is it in general? And again, when we get to the part where we'll look at it, we'll see the materials that it was made of. Some of the animals mentioned, we know exactly what they are. Some of them, we don't know exactly what they are. There's, you know, debate about, and I don't think we need to get hung up as much on what it is made of. But we'll talk about that in the future. But what is the tabernacle? The tabernacle was a movable tent of meeting that God commanded Moses to build. Okay, it was movable. And why was it movable? Where was Israel at this time? Moving. They were in the desert. They were at Mount Sinai. Okay, they were at the base of Mount Sinai when they got the commands to build this. Okay, but they were originally supposed to travel from Mount Sinai up to the Promised Land. go into the promised land and take the promised land, right? That was God's original intent. But, you know, we know what happened. The 12 spies went in and 10 of them became afraid and convinced the people to not go other than Joshua and Caleb. But anyway, but it was traveled. It traveled around the wilderness for 40 years, okay? And so it had to be movable, okay? It was also, God wanted to dwell among his people and the Israelites, and he wanted to have fellowship with them and be able to communicate with them, okay? At this time, at this particular time, how did God communicate with his people? Through Moses and, who is his brother? Aaron, okay? So you have the prophet and you have the priest, okay? And if you will, think of the prophet and the priest between God and man. I need four people. Nathan, come on up here. Andy, come on up here. Rich, come on up here. Other Andy, come on up here. Okay. Okay. You're tall, so you be God. You're short, you be man. Okay? Okay, Rich, you face that way. Okay? Andy, you face this way. Okay? Now, this is man. Okay? This is God. Okay? Man can't speak at this time directly to God, so he needs to go through who? A priest, okay? So the priest, if you will, has his back to man and his face to God, and Nathan would bring his gift to the priest, and the priest who would in turn bring his gift to God, okay? And that's how that worked. Now, God, though, wanted to speak to man. So God would speak through the prophet, and the prophet would speak to man. Okay? All right? So, kind of an illustration. So you needed two people. Okay, guys, thanks so much for your wonderful illustration. So you needed, you know, there was the prophet and the priest, but who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is both prophet and priest, okay? So we have direct access to God because of the Lord Jesus. So at this time, Moses and Aaron and his family is the prophet at the time. The main prophet is Moses. God is specifically speaking to Moses. Moses, in turn, speaks to the people, okay? And once the tabernacle gets set up, Aaron is set aside as the high priest. His family is set aside as the priest. So people bring their offerings to the priest, and the priest brings those offerings to God. Okay? And God speaks to Moses, and Moses speaks to the people. Okay? So God wanted to dwell among his people, the Israelites. He wanted to have fellowship with them and be able to communicate with them. Aren't you glad that we live in the dispensation in which we do? Okay? Where we can go directly to God. Those things will be developed more as we go. Okay? The tabernacle and its courtyard were constructed according to the pattern set by God, not by Moses. I don't know if all these verses are in there or not, because turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews is a one, if you will find that as we go through this study, we will be in the book of Hebrews a lot, because the Hebrews is the New Testament commentary on most of this that we're learning, okay? And what it meant, and why we can say this. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says this, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Now, what is the tabernacle, according to that verse, a shadow of? A shadow of what? The heavenly things. So there's a temple and a tabernacle in heaven, okay? And this is a shadow. This is an earthly representation of a heavenly pattern, okay? That Moses was to make. Look at chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. So if we were to read all of chapter 9 up to this point, we would see how when the tabernacle was built, okay, when the tabernacle was built, the first thing that had to be done was it had to be sanctified. Okay, and there were sacrifices that were done that would sanctify it. Okay, well, the heavenly tabernacle was sanctified, but it was sanctified by what type of a sacrifice? A better sacrifice. Whose sacrifice was that? Look at verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but I was supposed to stop reading. So Jesus took his blood into heaven and offered it to God as a sacrifice for what? Mankind's sin. And God accepted that sacrifice, and it was done one time. Okay? It was done one time. There's debate amongst theologians whether this is literal or figurative language. Okay? I personally am of the belief that this is literally happened. Christ took he was the sacrifice. You know, in those 3 days between his death and his resurrection, he offered himself, he offered his blood to God, and God accepted that, and he rose again from the dead. Okay? So this pattern, though, is mentioned again. All right? Look at Revelation 11, verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament. There was lightnings and voices and thunderings, earthquake and hail. So what was John able to see in heaven? The ark, okay? Now, I don't think this is the ark that was on earth. That was made after the pattern of the heaven. But here is the heavenly ark, okay? Revelation 15:5. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. So again, why are we reading these verses in Hebrews and in Revelation? To show that Moses made this tabernacle after the appearance, after the pattern of the one that God showed him on the mount, the one that's in heaven. Okay? All right? Thoughts? Questions? Clear? So see how important this is? Because this not only points to Jesus Christ, but these are shadows of heavenly things, okay? These are some of the things that we will see when we go to heaven, okay? And we will see these things. What is the tabernacle? We study the tabernacle to understand the steps the Lord laid out for a sinful people to approach a holy God, okay? So that's one of the problems since sin came in. Since sin came into the world, man has to approach God how? Through prayer, but through a sacrifice, okay? Through blood, all right? What happened with Adam and Eve? What did they try to cover themselves up with when they sinned? Fig leaves, okay? Leaves that dry up, wither, and blow away, okay? But God covered them with skins of an animal, okay? and there was the death of an animal. So all of these sacrifices point to our approach to God now and point ultimately through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and prayer is also a way that we approach God. So through sacrifice and prayer, and we'll see as we study this, we'll see as soon as you entered the gate, the first thing that you came in contact with was a large altar, okay? And then inside the holy place was the altar of incense, which represented prayers, okay? I think we mentioned this either last week or the week before. For about 440 years, Israel worshipped God through the tabernacle. And then about 440 years after this, Solomon built his temple, okay? But for about 440 years, this is how it was, okay? So the tabernacle was built approximately 1440 BC. It was used from the time of the Exodus until the time of King Solomon when the temple was built, and that's about 440 years, okay? And the tabernacle was the center of the Israelite camp. The 12 tribes of Israel camped around it in a special arrangement. And again, this was God being in the midst of his people, okay? God desiring to be with his people, all right? Thoughts, questions, comments? So here is a picture, an artist's rendition. Have any of you ever been to Lancaster, Pennsylvania? Any of you ever been to the tabernacle there in Lancaster? It's not the courtyard, but it is. If you ever go to Lancaster, make sure you go to the tabernacle beside going to Sight and Sound and beside going to, what's the name of that place with the 4 mile long buffet bar? It's not really 4 miles long, but it seems like the Shady Maple. Shady Maple. You got to go to Shady Maple, and you got to, but you got to go to the Tabernacle as well. Okay, enough of that advertisement. But anyway, they have a representation of this, and they divide the holy place from the most holy place. And there's a picture of the there's a model there of the high priest. So the courtyard. This outer part, this courtyard, okay? God gave instructions to the nation of Israel to make the courtyard 100 cubits by 50 cubits by 5 cubits high, okay? 150 feet long by 75 feet wide by 7.5 feet high. How long is a football field, including end zones? Anybody know? 120 yards, okay? It's 120 yards. So 150 feet is how many yards is that? How many? 50? So it's half a football field. Half a football field wide, long, okay? It's 75 feet wide. How many yards is that? 25 yards wide, okay? And 7.5 feet high, okay? So it's a big courtyard. It's like half the size of a football field, okay, in length. And the gate was 20 cubits, which is approximately 30 feet, okay? 30 feet wide, all right? And the tabernacle here, the tabernacle was divided into two parts. The first part is the holy place. It was 10 cubits by 20 cubits or 15 by 30. And then the most holy place was 10 by 10 or 15 by 15. So the overall length was 45 feet by 15 feet. Okay? Turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers 18. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, fourth book. Numbers 18, verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. So the tribe of Levi was given by God out of the 12 tribes to care for and minister in the tabernacle. They were to set it up. They were to take it down. The priests were to come from there. The high priests were to come from there. And that was their job. So in doing so, God would have the children of Israel, when they brought their sacrifices, when they brought their gifts, a tenth of some of them, not all of them, a tenth was to go to the Levites so that they could live, okay? They were given no inheritance in the land. The cities of refuge, certain tribes had to give because the Lord was their inheritance, okay? So this was their ministry. But the children of Israel were not allowed in, okay? They were not allowed in. Look at, turn back to Leviticus. Back one book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and go to the very first chapter. Leviticus chapter 1, and the Lord God, verse 1, and the Lord God, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, he shall bring your offering of cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the, where? Door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hands on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. So the children of Israel would meet the priests at the door. And at the door, they would accept their sacrifice. You would lay your hands on it. As you laid your hands on it, the priest would kill the sacrifice that was for you. And then they would take the sacrifice, not the people, the priest would take the sacrifice and have it offered. Okay? So this was how God met with his people at that time. Okay? Very different from today. Very different from today. You and I have direct access to God. You and I can bring, as we'll see later in 1 Peter and elsewhere, we can bring, literally bring our sacrifices to God because we are priests now, right? We're the priesthood of the believer. See why it's important for us to also understand the priesthood of the Old Testament? Because we're priests today. We're not high priests. That's reserved for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's the high priest, okay? Any questions, comments? Only the high priest was allowed into the Holy of Holies, and that's once a year. There were certain priests that did certain things. There were certain priests that just, and we'll see when we study it, but when you get to the New Testament, John the Baptist, right? His father, Zacharias, is a priest. And it was his time that month to go into the holy place and keep the lamps burning and things like that. So certain priests had certain tasks, and that those tasks would, be shared and moved around. So some were doing the sacrificing, some were going in, and only the high priest, went into the Holy of Holies, and that was only once a year, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Okay, so it was a bloody religion. Okay. There wouldn't have been any pigs offered, but it was a bloody religion. There's no doubt about that. And there was a place outside the camp for the refuge. And history tells us, well, the Bible also tells us also, but from the time a priest, a Levite was 30 till he was 50 was when he ministered, okay? So from 20 to 30, there was training. 30 to 50, he ministered. And then history tells us those that were 50 and over would then train the young ones to, so you had a 20-year ministry period, for the most part. I'm sure people prematurely died and things like that, okay? All right, that was a good question. Okay. Notice with me here, gate. OK, Okay? How many ways in and out? One. One way in. Gate. Isn't that kind of significant that in a little while, next week when we look at this part, what does Jesus say? He is the door, right? How many ways are there into heaven, into see God? One way. See how significant that is? Okay? As soon as you enter in, the first thing that comes into view is the altar, okay? And there can be no approach to God without sacrifice, okay? So the first thing you see is the altar. And when we study, you know, the courtyard, begin to study the courtyard next week, we'll study about the gate, the altar, and the laver, okay? Laver, all right? It's where the priests washed. A little bit to answer some of the questions of April, you know, but that's where they washed. And of course, on the altar, who is our sacrifice? Jesus Christ. What cleanses us? You know, the word cleanses us. Confession cleanses us. So many things, okay? So we see that. And then you have the tabernacle itself. And the first part, the bigger part here, is called the holy place. Within the holy place is the lampstand. That would give light, okay? What did Jesus say he was? The light of the world. Here we have the table of showbread, okay? Once a week, the fresh bread was put on that. And the priest would eat the other bread. And what did Jesus say he was? The bread of life, okay? And here then we have the altar of incense, which is the prayers. And in the book of Revelation, we see that it's representation of the prayers arising up to God. Okay? So, this light was to always burn. This altar of incense was to always have live coals on it so that the incense would burn. So the incense needed to be filled and the coals needed to be put there and the bread. So this is what the priest did. If you study the book of 1 Samuel under Eli's watch, what happened here? The light went out under his watch. He let the light go out. He was not a good priest, okay? He let the light go out. Then we have the veil, okay? This veil was a large, thick piece of material in Herod's temple. What happened to the veil when Jesus died? It was torn in two from the top to the bottom, okay? And what is significant about that? What did this represent? Here is the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of the Ark is the mercy seat. Between the two cherubim is the Shekinah glory of God. This is God's presence. So when the temple veil was rent, it showed a new way to God, number one, and number two, God wasn't there. God wasn't there anymore, okay? And so here is where the regular priests minister daily, and here is where the high priest went only once a year after he made a sacrifice for himself. He went in and made a sacrifice for the sins of the people. The sins of the people were prayed over, there was a scapegoat, and then the sacrifice and the scapegoat was let out into the wilderness to show that sins were sent away, and then the other one was sacrificed, and the priest went in there. We'll learn all about that in the future. Okay? Good?